Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for coming by this morning. Well, I had a very interesting weekend. A lot of feedback on the show, which was exciting for me. I got a great email from a kind of a friend of Izzy Kalman's, who I hope I can get on the show this week. He has he's a director of a new program that is promoting a moment of silence in the schools as a teaching tool. And having learned about being silent myself not very too many years ago, about the, the benefits of not talking for a while are great. And even though I'm a big advocate of talking and getting rid of stuff that's bothering you, I also learned through trial and error that being silent and not discussing everything that comes your way has its benefits as well. So I will be excited to have him on the show. I hope I can put that together today. But today I have another guest who's going to join us, hopefully in and out today, but he's given me some stuff to share with everyone. First, I'm going to bring in Shell. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Renee.
How you doing, honey?
Doing very good, sweetheart. And how are you doing?
I'm good. I've got Daniel joining the show this morning. I'm
going to
bring him in, but Danny, I'm going to bring you in so that I can leave my dashboard and go to all the information that I have to share with everybody about you. But you can say good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Morning,
Daniel is at a very exciting part in his life, and I have always felt since meeting Danny over 5 years ago now that he is bound for great heights, and he's tenacious, he's inquisitive, he looks for answers where other people are accepting of other people's way of doing things. Danny has picked apart a lot of the things that we all take like it's written in stone. And usually you have to get to be mine and Shelley's ages to realize that everything isn't the way it's supposed to be. When you're young, you take things for granted a lot of times. So I'm excited that he's so young and will have so much time to work on some of the things that he wants to work on. He sent me this yesterday. My history has given me reason to be concerned about our future. Consequently, I'm in search of answers to our worldly problems. However, my only promise at this time to my community is that I, Daniel Sohn, will work hard to find those answers. Now, that statement alone speaks volumes to me. And, of course, that's what we want. We want young people who are not led like cattle. We want young people who are not just rocking the boat, but figuring out what will make the boat smooth, you know, sail smoothly. And that's what Danny's trying to do. He's interested in kids, which are our future. He's also touched base on a lot of political arenas. Danny, before I read your bio, would you like to say anything? And Shell, do you have any questions for Danny that you'd like to ask him this morning before I read his bio?
No, I'm kind of excited to hear what he is going to be talking about. I know he has some, some specific agenda moving forward with his ideal of how he wants to contribute through politics and where he's going. So basically, I just want to hear him present that and go into the specific details of where he's headed and you know what we can expect from him.
Cool. Dan, would you prefer that I read your bio first? That would set some groundwork.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Daniel Stone began his work as an advocate for children's mental health at the early age of 12. Daniel was the youngest individual to be appointed by Governor Jeb Bush as the youth representative on Broward County's One Community Partnership Governance Board. This board managed the $8 million federal grant that was awarded to the Broward County Commission and the Children's Services Council of Broward County by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, which is called SAMHSA. If you've ever seen that written anywhere, that's what that is about in 2001. In 2008, the Broward County Commission named May 13, 2008, Daniel Stone Appreciation Day for his work throughout the community. In 2009, Danny received the honor of being selected as an EPIC honoree by the Mental Health Association of Broward County. The exceptional people impacting the community. That's what EPIC stands for. It's an award that is awarded annually to elected officials, nonprofit leaders, and advocates in the community. Daniel is the youngest person ever to receive this award since the award's inception. In May of 2013, Daniel was named Florida's Public Speaker of the Month by FloridaPublicSpeaking.com, an associate of the Miami Public Speakers Bureau, to which Daniel holds current membership. Miami Public Speakers is considered to be the largest speakers bureau in the state of Florida. Currently, Daniel serves in the capacity of CEO for South Florida Nonprofit Chamber of Commerce. The South Florida Nonprofit Chamber of Commerce represents the interests of local nonprofit organizations and charities, promotes charitable giving, provides leadership in community affairs, and delivers services and programs for its organization members. Daniel also serves as the chair of Democracy for America Broward County. Democracy for America is the nation's largest progressive super PAC founded by former Vermont Governor Howard Dean. Although Daniel holds many roles in the community, Daniel is most proud to serve as a precinct committee man for the Broward Democratic Party since June 2011. Daniel enjoys the opportunity to give back and serve daily. So I would say that's a pretty full agenda for somebody as young as yourself. what do you have planned for your next move, Dan?
Sure. You know, the statement I sent to you yesterday evening was very clear. That I want to work hard on whatever that is. Without disclosing too much, I live in the city of Dania Beach, and the city of Dania Beach has made national headlines. There's a lot of tumult in our city right now. We had a commissioner over a year and a half ago that resigned abruptly during a city commission meeting. There was an appointment process. We had some fabulous candidates of individuals, citizens, business professionals, former mayors, who even former elected officials who live in the city, who applied for that appointment. There was a list of 25 that was narrowed down to about 12. The city commission failed to appoint a city commissioner for a full year, and they had a great list of a group of candidates to choose from. Because of choosing of sides and taking sides, we have been on a split commission. Nothing has been accomplished this year in my city. I am not the only one that feels this way, and we are. As we approach the November 4th election, we're hoping that That seat is going, the seat is inevitably going to be filled on November 15th by a few, there are a few people who are running that were on that list for appointment. And we have some great, great hopes for that seat. With this sitting commissioner, we'll be able to move the city, at least start again in the right direction. I just want to highlight a piece of why I'm saying all this. And I'm going to explain to you about how this is really hindered and taking sides and the disagreeing when, on a city government that's supposed to represent all of the people in a location, how taking sides on issues or taking sides with individuals can affect the morale and the camaraderie of those that are looking at them for guidance, looking at them for inspiration. Each city in Broward County and throughout the United States, they don't operate on bylaws. They operate on statutes. They operate as the same as any Robert's Rule of Order meeting would operate. The mayor, if he wants to address the city commission, he has to hand over his gavel to the deputy mayor, the chair of the board, or the what will be called the vice mayor, in order to address the commission. If he would like to, if he would like to make a motion, he has to go ahead and hand that gavel over. It means that he's no longer presiding over that meeting. We've had our mayor try to make a recommendation for an appointment for one of these individuals, and he had to pass the gavel over to his vice mayor, who immediately adjourned the meeting.
Oh, my.
Yes. So that's the type of city or official that we have on our city commission. We also have individuals on our commission that for no reason believe that someone has to have served on, which I actually frankly feel is a great idea, but has to have proven they'd have to sit on a city board before they can do run for election. And also we've been told, which is against our rights as American citizens, that whoever is appointed, well, they made them sign contracts that they would not run for election in November, on November 4th. If that person did a great job, they had every right to run. They had every right to run as a...
Is there a reason for that, Danny?
Yeah, well,
I mean, you
know, when you sit on your high horses and you've been up there for so long, I guess it's only right to feel like you've earned your place there. You've been elected there. So being appointed as a commissioner kind of puts you in the same position, but some on the commission feel it's not fair because they had to work to get there, that's not right. So, so right now, let's go back. I actually, during that appointment process, I filed to run for that seat, which would have been November 4th. I actually said, you know what, there's some great candidates here. Let me step back from that race. And I stepped out of the race a year ago. So and looking at, we're now at a point where we're going to have an elected, a new elected commissioner in that seat, and the city should move forward. This is a very big election this year, November 4th, because it also is the gubernatorial election. So we're going to be choosing our governor, our next governor, or we may be re-electing our current governor. And some of you know my thoughts on that already. So, this is, you asked the question, and what I plan to do. And at this point in my life, I feel like I've put in the time, and I've put in the effort. I've gotten to know the issues. But I really need to get to know the people and know what they want. So I will be announcing within the next week an exploratory committee within the city, put together of advisors, of surrounding elected officials from other neighboring cities, who I have chosen, handpicked, who have either come to me and offered their support. But I'll be putting together an exploratory committee to see that if I will run for city commission in 2016, those two commissioners, or should I say that one commissioner that is causing such a problem in this city, I will be running against him as the he'll be the incumbent if I choose, if I see that there is a need to run. So next week I will be announcing an exploratory committee. We never want to reinvent the wheel. If things are working and the constituents feel that they're working, then I will not run. If they feel that there's an issue, there's a time for change.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time for change, mm-hmm. then I will announce mm-hmm. my run. I shouldn't say that. If they feel that there's a time for change and I feel I'm the right person to make that change happen, then I will make, mm-hmm. I will announce my run. I guess that's the news in a nutshell, but I can tell you that I grew up in Dania Beach, and it's a city that I hold dear to my heart. I remember, playing on the pier, fishing from the pier, playing in the Dania Beach sand, and I want to protect those memories that I made. For the children and families that play in our city. I can tell you that Dania Beach Boulevard has so many vacant shops. We've lost so many businesses from our city. People are relocating. We need to find ways to bring businesses here and provide incentives for business owners that have maintained their business for so many years in our city. It's not only important to gain new, Rini and Shelley, it's important to honor those that stuck by you and stuck with the city. So that's important. I can also tell you that in Dania Beach, we are a coastal city. People talk about how, it's 50 years away. I don't have to worry about it 50 years. Well, we got to talk about environmental sustainability. There is such thing as climate change. And the sea levels will be rising in 50 years. We cannot wait to find a solution 50 years from now. We need to start working on ways to use the resources and work with the officials that know what they're doing in that area to make sure that our city will be sustained past that. We need to protect the wildlife that is there, which in turn protects us. So those are just some of the issues that are important to me. But when we're talking about city tax, the millage, we're talking about parks and renovation. We're talking about businesses and occupation licenses. Those things I need to reach out to voters about. I need to reach out to the citizens. Is it hard? Is part of the reason why we don't have so many businesses here, is it because that our occupation licenses and permitting process isn't working? Is it because the fees are too much? Is it because, the tax is too much? I think part of also what draws people to cities is its school district. Are our city schools important? Municipalities don't really get to do much with their city schools. But we need to understand that that's what draws families here, that they're going to want to bring their families to a place where the schools are great. I can say Broward County, I'm very proud of Broward County schools, but are the schools in Broward County public schools in my city up to par? Are they A-rated schools? Are they B-rated schools? Are they C-rated schools? And what can we do as a city to enhance those ratings? We can't just allow it to be the Broward County School Board's problem. So those are just some of the things that are important to me. Again, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. So I have really been looking into this, but I'll be announcing an exploratory committee that will begin after the November 4th election. Right now, that is where my priority is, November 4th. We have great candidates that are running for this election for a commission seat, a vacated seat, which is up for election on November 4th. And we also have some races around this state that we need to put our priorities to. I'd like to say one more thing, and then you could, if you have any questions, feel free to ask me. A municipal race is a nonpartisan race. So I am a member of the Democratic Party, but in this race, if I end up filing, I'm not representing the Democrats, and I'm not representing a Republican, and I'm not representing the independents. I'm representing human beings, citizens of the state of Florida. I'm representing everybody in the city, no matter their race, age, ethnic background, color, sexual preference. I'm representing everyone in the city. So that's important to know, that when people ask me, if I end up filing, am I a Democrat or am I a Republican? I cannot answer that question. I can say, no, I'm a human being who wants to make a difference. And that's all I've ever been my whole life. Someone who works hard, looks at the issues, has their best attempt to work with a team to find those solutions. And that's what I want to continue to do if I choose to go down this path, if I see that there's a need. So that's all it is that I'm excited that if there is a need, that the residents will give me that opportunity to represent them. And I think I've had some great mentors, and I will always stress the importance of mentors, and I will never stop needing a mentor. So that's important. So I just wanted to, that's what I wanted to say today, is that, you know, I followed your show for a very, very long time from the beginning. I'm supporting your show, but I wanted to make sure that your listeners know it's not only about Dania Beach and that you're a friend of mine and you're supporting me. Take this message, listeners. You got to do the same thing in your cities, in your state, wherever you're listening from.
Right.
The same thing goes for all of you. Serve. Give back. It doesn't matter how young you are. You know, the Bible talks about how, from the mouths of babes, God will use somebody. So use anybody, any item, any being to get things done. And if my job is to make policies and implement them, and I'm 24 years old, and so be it, then that's my job. I think that process, find making sure that that's what I'm supposed to be doing, not only comes from my personal development, but it also comes, again, from the and spiritual development, but it also comes from what the residents are looking for. So I want to thank you, Renee, and thank you, Shelley, because you guys have been here the whole time. And, I think that I'm ready, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see what the city says. So.
Well, let me say, in regard to everything that you've just spoken about, that's a very, very big arena. And
right.
I love the idea of going out and really having people find out what their problems are, what their questions are, what their unanswered issues are. And I'd like to offer Renee's Heart to Heart to once a month, you'll work on a survey and give it to me and Shelley, and we will read it on the air, and we will open the door for anybody. And now I have listeners in the UK. I have listeners all over the world now. So
that's beautiful.
As you mentioned, issues in a small community are no different in a large community. There's just more of them.
That's
so
correct.
This can help all of us. This can open doors and get some communication going. I mean, schools, I hear people complain about schools every day, even charter schools, even top-of-the-line schools. I just recently got the picture of the little girl who was kicked in the face on the top of a slide. And they were told, you know, the parents were told, oh, well, you know, it was just a schoolyard thing. Nobody meant to hurt anybody. And nothing was done. And this little girl's face could be scarred forever. So many things that I get told about every day and so many terrible, sad stories that we all see posted on Facebook. I applaud the fact that before I am a big advocate of observing and surveying and analyzing everything that's going on before you put your feet in the water. You always want to look and make sure the water's deep enough to dive and that there's no sharks in there before you jump in, right?
That's right.
Well, you're going to find some sharks, but as long as you know they're there, then you're ahead of the game. So
And there are going to be some sharks in this game. There's some sharks in this game, I tell
you.
Well, we're not going to be worried about those sharks this time around or any time for that matter, because if we come back with the and again, I have advisors advising me. We have commissioners from different areas, not just in my city. We have commissioners and mayors from surrounding cities that have really poured themselves into me, that want to see me elected, but have reminded me that it is important to get the feedback from the constituents, which, of course, I wouldn't do it any other way. But we're not going to worry about the sharks if that decision comes back that I will be announcing my intent to run. That we're not going to worry about it because it's not about the sharks. It's about what we're doing, what our goals are, and what the citizens have told would have told me to do. So, and that's important to remember that there are going to be people out there that you know are jealous. There are going to be people out there that don't want to see you succeed. But we have to remember, it's not only about my success. It's the success of the greater good and this community. And time will tell. I'm excited to get started this week exploring and meeting with voters and city residents. We're going to be doing some door knocking this coming Sunday after church. We're going to be visiting a church on Sunday within the city. We're also going to be throughout the week in the evening visiting four separate neighborhoods of different backgrounds, different diversity. We're going to be seeing what their needs are, and we're not just looking at adults. We're talking to young people who are about to become registered voters, 17, 18 years old, that may be voting for the first time. And it's not to persuade them in any way, but it's to find out what their goals are. And educate them. Exactly.
Yes.
So it's important. So I'm excited. Thank you for that opportunity of allowing there to be a survey.
I think that'll be fun, Danny. Don't you think so, Shelley? We could get some good feedback.
Mm-hmm. If you all tell me I should run in the UK, I may just have to move. But so I don't know. But maybe it's a different ballgame.
Well, let me say something else really quickly on the upside. One of our biggest issues today when we're talking about a debate between people who think that they are right and everybody else is wrong, that in my book is never the way to handle anything. I just had in the last week or so conversations with somebody who is we get wrapped up in what our issues are. Mm-hmm. And the only way to solve any kind of problem is to have your mind open and be aware of the fact that it doesn't always necessarily have anything to do with just how something affects you. Mm-hmm. So what I like about what you just said is that you want to get everybody's input. And the other thing that you, and I didn't coach Daniel on this, by the way. Daniel and I talk frequently, but I did not coach him on this. I do not like it when all of our officials, from the president right on down to the whatever, instead of saying, my name is Renee, this is what I want to do for you, this is what I see with my own two big blues is this. And I want to do something about it. Instead of saying, well, you know, Shelley had the opportunity, but she has brown eyes, so she didn't see everything I saw, so she did a terrible job. How does that help anybody? How does that help anybody?
Correct. Well, there was just an article.
So you didn't do that once. You didn't do that once, Daniel. And I know you have feelings about some of the other officials.
I
know that.
I do.
But once you stand on the pulpit, then it has to be about what you can do instead of what they didn't do, right?
That's correct. That's of course. But,
good.
You know, of
good.
Course there are going to be some things that I can say that will be mentioned, you know, in the event that I run, that I have ideas about, like you said. I have ways of, I've thought about and I've talked about with people and I want to implement to make those changes. It doesn't mean that they didn't do their job at all. Everybody does it a little bit differently, and they do it the best they can. Some don't do it for the right reasons, but that's another
true.
Issue. But
it has nothing
this.
To do with what you're going to do.
That's correct.
It really doesn't.
And I think also the important thing you mentioned was that I didn't do that. Well, let me tell you why. I have never been a big believer at all. I've never believed in anybody who, I'm gonna kind of say this a little harshly, but anybody who says negative campaigning wins races, it does. But anybody who wins on a solely negative campaign shouldn't have won, because if they can't stand on their own merit, their own ideas, then you're just bashing somebody. I can tell you this. I am not a fan of our governor at all. But personally, I'm not running against him, so I'm not going to speak for the candidate, our nominee. But I will say this. There are certain things that are just not okay in politics, you know, and just in life. You don't say something that really can affect someone, I don't want to say political future, but one little thing bad, we're talking about a negative ad that comes out, and I know this all too well, can affect somebody, not even just them, could affect their children. So we also have to remember, it's not always about the person, it's about a policy that was made, a decision that was made. Sometimes we have to call the shots. Sometimes we have to say, I got to make a decision now, and it's the wrong decision. The difference is, when you get back up as an elected official and you apologize and say, you know what, I made the wrong decision, and then you make changes. That's the difference. So that's what I plan to do. I don't plan to attack the sitting commissioners, because here's the next thing in Dania Beach. Dania Beach is what we call a highest vote getter. So we could have 7 people running in this race. Including the 2 incumbents, those currently sitting. Whoever wins, gets the highest votes, 1, 2, 3, they become the elected official. We don't have seats or groups in my city. So, you know, I could be the favorite and get the most votes. I could be the 3rd most favorite. As long as I get enough votes to win and knock all the rest out, then, you know, then I'm in. But also, that's not my goal. That's not my focus. My focus is if I decide and the voters have shown me reasons to run, the goal is going to, of course, be making sure not that I get enough votes to win, is that when I win, I'm going to make sure that I don't look at my next election, because that's what a lot of officials do. You know, they get caught up in, okay, I'm elected. Great. I've done some great things, but I got to worry about next election. So I'm going to make some decisions based off that. That's not representing the people at all. I've always said, I've considered myself, and the grammar junkies out there will tell me I'm so wrong, but I've never considered myself a politician. I've considered myself a people-tician, and there's a very simple difference. A politician worries about how to get elected the next time around. A people-tician worries about how to get elected to help the people that elected them. That's the sole difference.
Wow.
And,
I like-
That's my philosophy. It's always been that way. So I'll leave it with that. I'm excited to go on this journey. I'm happy that Heart to Heart will follow me on it. And you know what? I'm probably going to be up against, in the event that I do run, some great candidates. And I can tell you today that if I do run, I will always make a promise to run a very positive campaign. There may be some things that come out critiquing that commissioner. They will never be negative, and they will never be in attack form. And that is just unacceptable. And I would hope that those that you know, are would be my opponents would reciprocate by not doing that either. So it's not about us, it's about the people. So thank you so much for having me. And it's always a pleasure, Renee. And Shelley, I'm glad that you're here to hear this too, because I feel, even though we've never met, that you somehow rooting for me too. So.
Absolutely, I did meet you once, but it was a long time ago, and we didn't really know who each other was at that time. We only met one time at an event that Renee went to. But one of the things that I'm impressed about with everything you just said is, mm-hmm. number one, I agree that it's fine to critique, you know, the other people that you're involved with in politics, even people you might be running against. What I agree with Renee, the mudslinging I don't like. And when you say that a lot of races are won on negative campaigning, I agree with you also that that's not the right reason, because it's like choosing the lesser of two evils. If you're somebody because they have less bad press than the other guy, then that's kind of nonsense.
You should be
a candidate that comes on strong and is offering good solutions, not somebody that got less bad press than another person. So I really don't like that kind of campaigning. It insults my intelligence. I find it offensive. And I don't mind critiquing, though. For somebody to say, you know, my opponent wasn't able to accomplish this, but I have different ideas and I'm going to be able to move forward, just as a matter of comparison, but not as a matter of mudslinging. Or that kind of thing, or character assassination.
Because when it gets to that level, you shouldn't be running.
Exactly.
So the other thing
I like so much about your message is when you say it's not just about Dania. I thought that was a beautiful comment. What you're doing is you're talking about your plans of what to do in your local community, and then you're putting it out there for everybody to be involved. If there's things going on in your community and you're the type of person that get involved in politics, you should. Otherwise, be an involved constituent. Vote. Go out. What the candidates have to say. You know, people sit back like armchair quarterbacks all the time, and they bitch, moan, and complain about status quo. And yet, how many people really get involved to make any changes? How many people go to town meetings? How many people get out there and get involved in a way that can really change what they don't like about what's going on in their community? So I like your message very much.
Well, thank you. Let me just, piggyback on one thing that you just said. You know, I used to be a big believer, and I guess I kind of am still, but I've kind of decided at this point in my life, things that I've been through, things that I've seen and I've observed, to take this point that I'm going to tell you a little bit differently. And I'm going to show you how I look at it. So it said, if you don't vote, don't complain. It's true. But you know what? We're all citizens. And you know what, we have to remember that, you know, even if we do vote, those that we elect, they're going to please us sometimes, and they're not going to please us sometimes.
Exactly.
So, you know, we have to remember, it's not just about if you don't vote, don't complain. Because if you do vote, there's going to be times that you're going to be unhappy with the person you voted for. So we have to remember that. And then we have to decide in our minds to change how we look at it. So this is how we should begin looking at it. And it's simply that there's a quote, and it's very famous. I don't know who it's by, but it simply goes like this. Bad officials are elected by good people who do not vote. when we do not go out to vote in general, forget about who it's for. We elect people like those, I'm not going to name names, those that use our money in an inappropriate way. We elect people that are in it for personal gratification and for, for themselves. We elect people who, I don't want to say it's not important to focus on your district or your area that you're elected to, or those people that elected you, but if they're elected in a state position, they should focus on the state, not only the district that they represent. So decisions have to be made that way as well. So that's simple. It's not about who you're voting for, and if you voted for them or not, they're going to please you sometimes, and you know they're not going to please you. You're going to agree sometimes. You're going to disagree. But the point is, we need to vote. It is a given right to all of us, and people died for that right. Women died for that right, and every single day, our men and women out in the armed forces die for our freedom to be able to continue to do that. So that's an important part of it, that if you, again, good people are bad people, or sorry, bad officials are elected by good people who do not vote. And that's important to remember.
Yeah, it's a very interesting way of looking at it. I like that. Very good. Very well put.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, the way I feel about an official is an official in any capacity. I don't care whether you're talking about the president or the school superintendent or who you're talking about. They're supposed to be the vehicle that gets us where we need to be. They're not supposed, it's not supposed, they're driving us to where we need to be. They are not, it's not so much about them as it is their ability to drive. So,
you know, you're very, you know, Rini, let me just say something, and that's something that I can tell you, activists in each party, I can say more so Democratic Party, which, again, I'm not talking about my race right now, but have really touched on all these years, and that's simply that, okay, you know, we say representative. We say that word, representative so-and-so. What we are doing is this has been the debate, and I'm simply to tell you that both answers are correct and both are right. Is it that we're electing them to make a decision on our behalf, or is it that we're electing them to represent our decisions? I can tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
We elect people. There's a reason why there's a certain amount of people, certain number that's elected, and that's because they speak for us collectively. However, they also sometimes have to make executive decisions and some pretty close calls and some very quick calls based on the information they have and based on what they've gotten feedback from their constituents. Truth is, you can't please everybody. However, you got to please the majority. And this is the important thing to remember. It's two things. Yes, they should represent, as a representative of the people that elected them, their issues. But sometimes they have to make a decision for ourselves, for themselves, on our behalf. We're not there to make that decision for them. They have to get what they got and go with it. And you know what? Sometimes that decision is wrong. And like I said before, they come back. Someone who realizes it's wrong and is honest with those that he made a mistake, he comes back or she comes back and says, hey, I made a mistake. Now I know what the real decision or the right decision would have been. And that's okay. So those are two important things to remember. It's not always about that we elected them to represent what they think is for us. Yeah, it is, because they got to make a quick call. But it is also that they need to represent the issues that we care about, that we collectively have agreed on, and that's why we elected them. So there's two things. So, yes, I just wanted to say that.
Well, and I agree with you completely. And when I say, or when anybody says, I would hope, that somebody has made a poor decision or is you know, anything along those lines. Now you're talking about perfection. There
right.
isn't any of us that are perfect. I make decisions every day for other people. And you know how many times a day I say out loud or to myself, oh, my God, what was I thinking? Millions. Millions.
This is true.
So it's, you know, it's not, it's, I don't want to, I would never want to take a young mind like yours that is excited and wants to make a difference and say, oh, my God, don't make any mistakes. Because that's what an asinine thing to say to anybody. Mistakes are all a part of our learning. Mistakes
right.
is how you learn to know the difference between black and white. Mistakes
mm-hmm.
are how you make the adjustments to make things right instead of wrong. I don't think anybody could sit in a place where decisions are made, choices are made, and you're right. You can't call up 50,000 people and say, look, today we have to decide whether we want to do this. What do you want me to do?
Right.
You'd never decipher through all the different answers. Never.
Right.
So it has
right.
to be the majority.
Right.
It has to be done with decorum, integrity, and heart.
Right. Heart.
Heart. It has to be
That's
done.
The most
you
important.
Have to care. You have
That's
to care,
right.
Danny. If you don't care, you're not worth a diddly squat.
And that's something else that I have to say is that, you know, we see so many times elected officials who cast a vote just because. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say to those that always say, well, he was there, but he didn't vote, or she didn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
As an elected official, they didn't cast their vote. You know what? Sometimes people, that's just not their issue. That's just, you know what, they're going to win, lose. And you know what, sometimes the piece of legislation comes forth to our congressmen and women, and it's just not ready. And they're not willing to cast a vote and make a decision that's going to affect so many people. And it may be so wrong or so right if they're not clear on it. So I can say this, you know what, if the heart is not in that piece of legislation, they don't feel comfortable with it. I have no problem with an elected official not voting until that legislation comes back appropriate for them to vote on. And that's just me. And there may be many people who disagree with me. There may be people who agree with me. But I sure as heck don't want somebody in office just voting because everybody else voted. No.
Right.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's like them we're acting like
but
sheep.
Serene, but that happens all
yeah.
the time. It happens.
Yeah,
oh, I know.
It does happen all the time, fortunately.
So, you know, and we criticize our some of our officials for showing up and not voting when they're in the chamber in all different levels of government or on the dais. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
They have their reason for not voting. And I will tell you, if they're not voting because it's for their personal gain or it may put them in trouble with their sponsors or their funders or their contributors, that's not the reason not to vote. But I can tell you that, again, it's your heart, and that's the word you said. The heart is not in that legislation. If it's you can't vote for something that you know is not ready, and if it passes, it's going to affect people in a negative way, especially if you don't understand it. How you expect the constituents and the citizens to understand it? I will tell you, but then there's a flip side to this, and that is why I think if the citizens of Dania Beach elect me, I can see both sides. I think that is why I will be able to represent the citizens properly. I use that word in its correct tense, properly, because I need to be able to look mm-hmm. at both sides. And here's the flip side to what I just said about not having heart in legislation or not voting on something. And so I think should be the last thing I'll say is that many times we have to vote on something in its unfinished, incomplete form, kind of in a way compromise, I don't want to use that word, but kind of in a way pass it so at least it's a law and then we can make changes to it so that it works. If it's something that is going to end up in the long run good for the people of a city, a state, a government in any capacity, a school board, with the students, the parents, the teachers, and the administrators and staff. Sometimes we just got to pass it and make changes where we need to. Because if sometimes if there's nothing in place, we fail greater. And
that's a great point, Daniel, because a lot of times people wait for the perfect opportunity or the perfect plan or the perfect solution, and then they never move off, off point A, and nothing happens. It's better to move out with a plan that may not be perfect, because at least start getting some things accomplished, and then you kind of make adjustments as you go along and better it. But it's better to have an incomplete plan than no plan at all. And a lot of times we wait too long for that perfect solution, and then things just get from bad to worse.
Right. And let me just say this, and I think this will be the last thing.
Amen.
Those two things, or those few things that I said, and I'm going to say them very briefly again, but we talked about today, Dania, and I also talked about doing the same thing in cities across the country and the world. I just gave all your listeners a choice. We talked about not electing parties, picking sides. We talked about critiquing and talking about solutions. I just gave your listeners a choice. We talked about legislation. Either we for it or we against it. Are we voting for it for the right reasons? Are we not voting for it for the right reasons? Is our heart in it? Your listeners have a choice. Citizens have a choice. And that is what I think the message is what I want. I want people to understand that when I am exploring in these next few weeks, people will have a choice. And the choice is that they don't have to be comfortable with what our sitting commissioner is implementing or not implementing, and they don't have to be fully comfortable with new things. But if somebody like myself can come up, and it doesn't have to be me, can look at both sides, both options, both choices, and find a one solution, not that fits all, but is the majority, and can make a difference, then I think that person is my ideal elected official. They have to be able to see both sides, see both choices. But not only that, they have to give those choices to those people that are representing them. It can't be one side, one size fits all. And that's why I think I'll be a great representative of the people of Dania Beach if they see fit. And again, I enjoyed being on the show again today.
Well, honey, it's been a pleasure having you here too, and I'm very excited about your future. I have been for a long time. I think that you, first of all, anybody who knows how to jump hurdles as well as you should be very good in politics. Let's face it. So, because I have visual analogies in my head all the time about how difficult it is to live this life that we all live, and I sometimes laugh about some of the things that I visualize in my own head about my own life. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm walking in a field of clover and lavender and beautiful, beautiful flowers, much like the Wizard of Oz kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And somebody drops a boulder right in front of me. Okay,
boom.
So what do I do? Do I stand there and stare at the boulder and think, oh, God, I can't go any further now because this boulder's in front of me? No. I either walk around it, climb over it, or kick it the hell out of my way, right? And that's what you have to do. That's really you have to do.
Yes.
Well, it's about our lives, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Shelley has overcome tremendous obstacles in her life. That's why people like us want to see things get better. Instead of making it just about, oh, my God, poor me, I'm going to go eat worms, that does nobody any good, especially you. Worms are really not all that good. So what you really want to do is you want to make the changes so that the people, all the other people that you care about, and even the ones that you don't have to go through that too.
That's right.
Right? Isn't that what we all want? Don't we all want, for me?
That's what we would all want, yes.
I got involved in bullying because I was devastated by my grandson being set on fire. Mm-hmm. And that really, it didn't start out about bullying, what happened to Michael, I don't think. It was a snowball effect kind of thing. But then I thought to myself, oh, my God, other people, not just Michael, but the family may not live through something as horrendous as that.
That's
why I got involved in this, and that's why you guys joined forces with me. Well, Shelley's been my friend a long time, but I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's what brought a lot of us together.
That's right.
When something
crappy happens to us, it truly is.
Yes, absolutely. But when something crappy happens to you, instead of wallowing in our own pity party, mm-hmm. we want to make the changes so that nobody else has to go through that. And that's the way we're supposed to be. That's the way we should all be. There should be a sense of fair play. There should be a lot of heart brought into everything. I know there are men out there shaking their heads, oh, that sounds just like a woman. Well, you're right. And that's why we're here. That's why God
that's right.
made both of us, you know, to balance the other one. Right?
Right.
So
right.
this is a journey. I want to reiterate that you send me a survey, a question, one question a month, three questions a month, whatever we're comfortable with doing, and Shell and I will present them, give our own input, and then hope for some feedback from some of our listeners. And maybe that way you'll get some of the answers that you need as well. I want to thank Danny also for putting up a new heart-to-heart site on Facebook. It's awesome. By the end of the night, we had 50 new followers, and I think we're up mm-hmm. even more than that this morning. So thanks, honey. Yeah. You did an awesome job.
Thanks.
It's beautiful.
Well, you're welcome.
And
you're welcome.
We're going to move forward with all of this stuff, and we're going to make a difference. Size of a difference doesn't matter, just like
That's
the
right.
size of my butt doesn't matter.
Oh, my
right?
God. I'm not even commenting.
Very diplomatic, Daniel.
You chicken. You chicken. You know,
really?
funny story. I cut my
even,
hair this week. Listen, I cut my hair this week, and Mikey and Austin said, Graham, you cut your hair. And I said, yeah, do you like it? And Mike says, well, it makes your head look smaller. And I said, what about my butt? And he goes, oh, Graham, I'm not even going there.
Good job, Mikey. Very, very good. Rini, you know, I'm gonna end it. From my heart to yours. I love you both. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, honey.
Thanks so much,
ditto.
Daniel. We're very proud of you and very excited mm-hmm. to see where you're going. We're kind of on the journey with you.
Thank
yep.
you.
Yeah, we're here. We're here for you. And we'll move forward with all the stuff that we talked about today, absolutely. And maybe I'll even get some feedback today because there are issues. While we've been talking, people have put things on Facebook
yes.
for me to talk about and things like that. So we will
yep.
We will move forward with all of this. Good luck.
Thank you. Can I quickly mention one thing?
Sure.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen listening, brought to my attention. I posted something on my Facebook, and Rini, feel free to give that information out if you'd like.
Okay.
We have an issue with Broward College North Campus. The administration and the deans have decided to hire this is an issue close to my heart. They have decided to hire a company that comes in and kills, I want to say, kind of pests. The problem is wildlife individuals, and you're gonna jump when I tell you what they're killing. But wildlife individuals have come on and said, no, wait, we will have volunteers. He will remove them for you for free. We don't want them to be killed. So I've put out a post, and I've contacted all of the Broward College Democrats across Broward County, I'm calling all activists in any capacity. This is very, very important. They are not answering emails, Broward College Administration, and I do find that many of them to be very close to me and my friends, so I hope that those who support me and also have a passion for animals we'll make the changes. Again, there are wildlife volunteers, agencies that have come out and said, we're going to, we want to move them. We want to remove them from the campus at no cost to you. However, Broward College campus, the dean there, has decided to hire a company to kill kittens and baby ducks.
Aww.
That are on campus. Baby kittens and baby ducklings.
Oh, that's going to put him in a really bad place. I mean, it's going to put the ducks in,
right.
It's going to put the ducks and the kittens in the worst place, obviously. We struggled with that at Hippocrates. And my guests at Hippocrates way back in the day raised money so that all the kittens, all the feral kittens could be fixed. And we would take them like three at a time. My guys and Shelley and I, we all participated and got them to the centers and had them neutered and spayed so that they quit multiplying.
Right. And Rini and Shelley, that is the main, that truly is the only way of prevention of reproducing and making sure that we don't euthanize.
Get them to get them fixed and put them back out there. Yep.
That's right.
So
that was one of my. Okay, go ahead.
Right. So here's what I'm asking everybody to do. Anybody who is a student or anybody who's listening that would like to, on my Facebook, there's a bunch of college, Broward College emails, as well as the mayor of the city, vice mayor of that city, Mickey Belvedere. She's on board, and the surrounding city, the city of Margate, Mayor Lisa Pierman is on board, and their emails are there as well. Broward College Democrats have already launched a petition. And we're asking all Broward College students to join in and sign it because we know that student-initiated projects like this always, always have proven successful. So we're asking everybody to go on my Facebook and look for the emails there and the petition start signing away because, truthfully, there is a solution. We talked a lot about solutions today. Is a solution that is already presented at a no cost to the college. And that's not what's, you know, that we're not giving anybody an option. So we talked about solutions and options, and there is an option, and there is a solution, and we need to decide it. But I need your help to help that make that happen. So.
Perfect, perfect.
All
we
right, everyone.
We are really out of time. Thank you, sweetie. Love you. Bye-bye. Thanks, everybody out there. I hope you all go out and have an awesome, awesome day, and I hope you come back and join us tomorrow on Rini's Heart to Heart. We're going to have a Bullies to Buddies Day, and I think I have a young woman who's going to call because I heard from her yesterday, and she's got stuff going on, and maybe we can all help her. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Thanks, Shell. I think Shell already left me.
All right. No. All right, take care, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Thanks, Daniel. Thanks, Rini. Talk to you in the morning.
Bye-bye.